Day Zero update for December 10th, 2017. I'm Philip Bodanova.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Elogi.
And this week, yeah, it's kind of one of those weeks that makes you glad you're a gamer. Because,
yes.
Yeah, we've actually got a lot of good news to report for once.
Yep.
Okay, well, there's still some stupidity that happened in the industry, but yeah. For the most part, a lot of good stuff happened, and we're going to get to that. Before we do, though, we got to catch up on what we've been doing this week, and me, well, it's the same stuff, so I'm not going to belabor the point. So, Pat, what you been up to?
I'm still working on Game of the Year stuff. Same thing. I'm just spending time with the last few really key games that I haven't had a chance to get to yet. And so we'll see what effect that it has on my current rankings. But I think I might still just kind of hold steady with what I've got now. So
yeah, go with your gut. I mean, yeah. If that's what you're feeling, then go for it.
Yep.
So, yeah, Game of the Year prep. I should probably point out that next week will be the last episode of the year.
Yep.
So, well, the last regular episode of the year, there will probably be a year-end recap that we're going to record ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, look out for that. And how about you, Brandon?
Well, I've pretty much been dividing my time between Tooth and Tail and Stardew Valley. I explained Tooth and Tail during the Let's Weekend, but basically, it's basically real-time strategy game in which you command a bunch of different factions of rodents fighting over their food supply.
Hmm.
Very darkly humorous, has a lot of things it wants to say. And Stardew Valley is Stardew Valley. At some point, probably not today, but in the next couple days, I want to go and get a copy of get the Kingdom Hearts H2 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue, the big sort of ultra compilation of all the Kingdom Hearts games.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to go through all and replay all of those.
Hmm. Yeah, it might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, considering Kingdom Hearts 3 probably won't come out for another year, so.
Yeah, I'm pretty much thinking it's probably going to come out about 2019 yeah. at the soonest, but So, Chris, what about you?
So I am finally done with Nier Automata. Did all the weird shit it wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then bought the rest of the trophies, which took a bit more time than I thought it would. Because basically the thing it's recommended is just sell all the rest of your stuff. And you should have at least close to enough, if not all of it. Depending on what you've done. I accidentally sold the OS, which causes you to fail. It's one of the alternate endings, is you just delete or sell your OS chip.
Hmm.
And it's like, oops, you can't function without this. Here's an ending. So I had to redo the whole selling process again. Luckily, it didn't take too much longer, but yeah, there's no sell all button, so you have to go to each item, and most of the items you have multiples of, so it's like, okay, I gotta go open that up, hit left to tell it to highlight all of them, and then sell it. It just takes like a couple extra button presses, but it adds up a little bit.
Hmm.
But yeah, I'm done with that. That is a really interesting way that you can end it with the ending E, which mm-hmm. is a fun spin on the credits.
Yeah.
Which I went for, and now I'm completely done. Yeah. There's nothing left to go back to. So,
so did you do it?
Yeah.
You
of
did?
Course, I did the thing.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's no more... Well, there's not much else to do anyway, so...
Yeah.
Basically, if I want to go back to the game, I have to start all over again.
Yeah.
Which it would just be, hey, go buy it on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Also played Super Lucky's Tale. I finally beat it. and endured all the bullshit that happens then. I had this fun glitch happen. I'm going to put a link here to the recording I did on the Xbox. Where basically I start this level and it immediately gives me two of the letters that you collect and 150 coins. I just started the level, just moved, and it glitched out and gave me half the coins in the level, which is weird. It,
handy.
Yeah, but I ended up not having enough coins to get the coin clover. So I had to replay it again anyway. It was just like, okay, your game probably needed some more time. Because the controls do not feel good at all, especially when they go to these sort of 2D, 2.5D sort of levels. Yeah, it's not good. I might just write up a review just to maximize the value I get out of this game.
May as well.
yeah, the one for doing the mining stuff, going under the ground, I eventually got that by just staying in the hub area and just circling around for a while, which tested the Xbox app's ability to refresh in real time, which it could not keep up. So I had to keep pulling up the game hub in the game just to double check where I was at, and eventually popped it. The final boss is bullshit. It's like your typical, you do the things it asks, you get a chance to attack, and you do that three times, and it's done. But it's like five different things you have to do to get that ability to attack. And it's just annoying more than anything. Though I've had one point where you're on this set of, it's like a 3x3 platform, and it creates this like little maze out of that, and then you have to get to the end to hit this thing that attacks the final boss. And one time I did that, and then it just spun it around and then threw me off the platform. And so I died and had to start all over again.
Nice.
Other times, it just, he has laser eyes, which there's been no mechanic like that before. So when it comes out, initially I would just lose a lot, heart or two, just because I did not know how fast it was going or where it was going to even start, that sort of stuff. It's just all bullshit. Not really a game people should play, especially if you got access to like the Crash Bandicoot collection or Super Mario Odyssey or even some of the indie stuff that is out there. There's one called Skylar and Plux that is kind of a riff on Ratchet & Clank a bit, though it kind of has more of a Jak and Daxter style framework to it, that is actually pretty good and is much cheaper. Doesn't require $30 to get. Yeah, that game kind of highlights Microsoft's problem with working with other companies to make games for them, because they're not great at picking the best people. And so you end up getting products like this where it's not good. I doubt it's going to sell all that well. Maybe just as like a, I've got an Xbox One X, this is the only new thing. But it's not a showcase title. It doesn't look great. I frequently glitch through platforms or stuff that I should have been able to stand on. It's just not as polished as it should be. But for other things I've been playing, I started up Life is Strange Before the Storm, played the first episode, and that's pretty good. It's set before the first season. It's kind of set, it'd be a spoilery thing, it's set, it's a prequel, but the way they hop time in Life is Strange, it's kind of a little bit muddled in that, but it said after Max leaves for Seattle, as you're playing Chloe Price, her best friend, who is dealing with some problems, having lost her father 2 years before, and then her best friend leaves town and isn't exactly calling her or texting her a bunch. So she feels kind of abandoned, has trust issues, and runs into this girl named Amber, who surprisingly becomes a great friend of hers, and things progress. I'm pretty sure know where it's going to go, but still waiting for the...
I mean, if you've played the first game.
You know, the ultimate ending, but this is just about their friendship. Their sort of budding friendship. That might be even more than that, but they are... It has some interesting stuff to it, since there's no sci-fi elements to this. Chloe Price does not have sci-fi powers or anything like that. She does have the ability to talk shit. So there are points where you get into conversations, and it's like, all right, I'm just going to start talking shit to this guy. Like, the first thing you do is come up to this, like, thrasher metal club that you want to get into, and the bouncer is not letting you in. So you just sit there and talk shit to him, and he eventually is like, all right, you're tough, you can get in. That sort of stuff. And you pick up on the things they say and sort of turn those back against them and all that sort of stuff. It's a pretty neat mechanic. There was one point where I could have talked shit to the principal, though you were going to be going to the principal's office after school, after the school day. I was like, I'm not going to press my luck on this. I don't need to be talking shit to the principal, who's probably getting close to expelling her. But yeah, it's pretty neat for the story that it's trying to tell. And I look forward to the episode 3, which comes out on the 20th. Then the bonus episode is out early next year. So that means that'll be up for next year's Game of the Year stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes. And I jumped into The Division because it got that big update the other day. And it's really overwhelming trying to jump back into a game like that. It'd be like if you stopped playing Diablo 3 halfway through and came back after a bunch of updates. Like, hey, here's loadouts. Here's how you can upgrade your items. Here's how you can do all this other stuff. And you're like, whoa. Yeah. Whoa. I just need to see what the hell I've got equipped. I need to figure out what all's going on here first. Then I'm going to worry about upgrading my loot, getting new loot, shooting people. There's a whole basement area that's in this headquarters now that has all the, like, the end game stuff. All the stuff you have to be level 30, and I'm 16. There's, like, the daily quest stuff. There's the thing that I assume is, like, the raids. There's a survival thing there. There's loot crates, like cosmetic loot crates, that they give you a couple of keys for that right off the bat. And I got an epic hat, which is like a kind of just a baseball cap with a big O on it, I guess. I assume they have some team in this fictional version of New York that has a big O. I don't know. I've not run into them yet, but looks like a dumb hat. But that's all that's most of the hats there. So, because this game takes place basically after Black Friday. It's like pretty much right about now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a Christmassy game. Very depressing Christmassy game. About a terrorist attack on New York with the virus. So it's like, oh yeah. Hey, this is actually kind of fitting, but in kind of the wrong tone for what you want in the holidays, but that's pretty cool. So I always make sure my character has like a wool cap on, because it's like, you're going out here in the cold shooting people, you should at least be a little bit warm.
Yeah.
So I need to get some better cosmetic stuff, but yeah, it's got a lot there. There's way more I need to do. I just opened up, I was like, oh god, there's too much here. I need to slow it down, just probably go for some side stuff first before jumping back into the story. But yeah, that's been nice to jump into. It's just having the season pass and this new update's like, hey, we're going to tell you everything. It's all these pop-ups. Hmm. Enjoy. It's like, no, I don't need the pop-ups yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been pretty much it. I guess we can throw to Teresa, who's on now.
Yeah.
Hey.
Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I have been playing Super Mario Odyssey and loving the absolute hell out of it. That is an incredible game. I am just like every other hour, I'm like, hey, look what they did here. You know, it's been really fun. And then, not exactly even there's no way to segue. I've also been playing Assassin's Creed Origins because those two are just
completely unrelated.
Yeah.
Two most murderous people around right now.
So, yeah, I've been having fun with that, but I got to take it back to the library soon. So maybe somebody will pony up and get it for me for Christmas.
You like it?
Yeah, I do. It's like Skyrim with a little more direction.
Hmm.
You know, in Skyrim without getting bored with Skyrim.
Yeah.
And I feel like people are going to absolutely crucify me for saying that, but you can get bored with Skyrim.
Yeah.
But that is pretty much it. Those are all encompassing. I sit down and start playing and I'm like, ah, shit, it's time for dinner. What happened?
Where did the day go?
Yeah. It's a great place to be. I'm really liking it.
Yeah. And you're playing them just in time too, because we're doing our game of the year considerations. So
yeah, they're absolutely on my list, both of them.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into the quick takes, which we call the shrapnel here on the show. Capcom started off the week with a bang, I would say. That Mega Man stream turned out to be pretty substantial.
It turns out I actually predicted it.
Yeah. I think we got it all. We said Mega Man X and Mega Man 11.
Yep. And Mega Man 11 for the modern take on the Mega Man franchise.
Hopefully basically, fuck you, Mighty Number 9.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because that game didn't work.
I think somebody actually went and figured out how to make a model similar to Mega Man 11, put it into Mighty Number 9. Just modded it in.
Yeah.
That doesn't help the rest of that game's problems. So. Yes.
This is the point in the show where we have to remind people that Keiji Inafune did not create Mega Man.
No. So, yeah.
He was just one of the illustrators.
Yeah. Along with the Mega Man 11 announcement, which is coming out on, Xbox One, PS4, Switch, and I think PC.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm going to look forward to that next year. We're also getting two legacy collections, Mega Man for Mega Man X, which will encompass X1 through X8.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the two legacy collections for the original series are going to land on Switch.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. All of the games will be on all of the platforms.
Yep.
Which is how it should be.
Yep. Yeah. I'm curious to see how they handle those PS2 versions on the Switch. That's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing they're doing ports because, they're not emulating the PS2 on the Switch. That's not happening.
No.
So, yeah. But yeah, I'm going to buy these for sure. The X series, it kind of went off the rails after, I think, X5.
Yeah.
But, mm-hmm. It was, you know, was still all right and still worth playing. So, yeah, those are very good announcements, but that's only where they started. They also announced the Devil May Cry HD collection. Coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC, and that's going to encompass the first three games.
Yep.
So lots of good Devil picks. May Cry. Yep.
You would think they should just go all the way and put 4 and the new DMC in there as well.
Yeah.
Well, those just are already out on those platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can bundle them in, just like they do for the Resident Evil stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been nice.
Here's all of it. Give me $60.
Yeah. Would have been nice, but that's unfortunate that they didn't do that. Still, I mean, the first three games I find were the best. So it's kind of the ones I want anyway.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
And this is just the same HD collection that released on PS3 a few years back. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Is it this week? No, it's not this week. I think it's next week. The Okami HD collection remaster comes out. Oof. Remember? You forget about that?
I did.
Yeah. Everything's coming out this week or next.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so they've remastered the remastered Okami. So,
cuz that was in 4K on the PS3.
Yeah. It was close to 4K. It. Yeah. It wasn't quite running at 4K.
They're just like, still, fuck, we can do this anyways. Fuck it.
May as well, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's coming out soon, and there goes some of my money.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But that's not on our list. I just thought I'd mention it. What else Capcom did this week? Street Fighter V Arcade Mode. They finally revealed all of the things about it.
We know why it's taken so long.
Yeah, yep. It's basically six paths that relate to the various games of the franchise.
Yep.
With corresponding artwork and endings and everything that goes with it. So
it's not all Bangus this time. If it was all Bangus, it would have taken even longer because there's going to be a lot of artwork involved.
Yeah, and his arm would have fallen off by now. So
yes,
yeah. So yes, it's looking good. So yeah, look forward to that.
I want.
Whether you get the arcade edition, full retail edition, or you just get the update, you're going to get this. So that's cool.
I want it.
I think Walmart's been selling vanilla Street Fighter V discs for $5. That's a pretty low cost to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what they don't have is an upgrade option for the full arcade edition with all the characters so far.
Yeah.
That's a bit of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I know what I'm going to be playing first couple weeks of January.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, the first couple weeks of January, it won't be out.
Yeah, but it will be.
I believe it's the 16th that it releases.
18th, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. 18th,
so, the last couple of weeks of January. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, looking forward to that. What else we got? Oh, yeah, Romancing Saga 2. A lot of us here have been looking forward to that.
Yes.
Releasing December 15th on all of the things.
Yep.
This is one of those
This coming great Friday.
NES JRPG franchises we didn't get the first time around.
Right.
Yeah. Look forward to this, because this will stand up with anything else that Square Enix put on the Super NES.
Yeah.
Yep.
Full stop.
Yeah. I find it interesting that it's launching on everything. Typically, you see, as far as Square games go, that the Xbox One is typically left out. But... yeah, as far as this one goes, yeah, it's going to be on everything, so including the Vita, which apparently still exists.
Is this a phone port, or is it the original?
I think it's a phone port.
Yeah,
which is that's frankly how you would want it anyway.
Yeah,
Square Enix goes for phone ports whenever they can.
Yeah,
That's
so
what.
So give us Final Fantasy Dimensions finally.
That would be nice.
Yeah, because Final Fantasy IX is a phone port, and it's pretty obvious when you see the big text fields and big buttons.
Yeah.
It's like, this is something you're supposed to touch, which I saw something recently I did not really realize. Final Fantasy VIII isn't on anything.
Nope. Yeah.
It's the one game they've not put on everything.
And that's completely all right.
Totally okay with that. I mean, you can get the PS1 Classic on the PS3, if you could really call it a classic. Yeah. So. So.
Well, it was a platinum seller, so.
So. Okay. Other news we got going here. GameStop is going to be releasing a physical version of Secret of Mana for PS4.
Yes.
So if you want that disc-based goodness, you have to go to GameStop to get it.
Yep.
I'm surprised they didn't pull a Square Enix and say, "It's on our store.
Right now.
That's all you get it." You're going to overpay for our shipping, and you're not going to get it as soon as you want.
Yeah. I'm all for physical releases of games, especially smaller releases like this.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that GameStop themselves took it on.
Well, GameStop themselves took on the original Xenoblade Chronicles.
Hmm.
So there's definitely a precedent for this kind of thing.
Hmm.
Mm. Yeah, this would be nice to have. I had it stolen from me in 1994. God damn you, Alex. So it'd be nice to have it, but sadly, I don't have a PS4.
Yeah,
okay. No, there's time.
I thought
it's not
only on the PS4, the physical.
This version of Secret of Mana is only going to be on PS4.
Hmm.
The Switch got a Seiken Densetsu collection, which was the first three games in the series.
Ah.
And that hasn't even been confirmed for North America yet.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, bummer. Oh, well, I'll be buying PS4 version then.
Yeah.
Oh, Secret of Mana is going to be on Steam.
It will be.
It is.
Not, you know, I mean,
$40.
The physical. And I don't care about the Moogle suit, so hey, that's where I'm going to get it, is Steam.
Yeah.
But it would have been nice to have the physical again, because I fucking loved that game when I was in college.
Hmm.
Again.
Great game. Great three-player fun
Alex.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So, all right, a couple more quick ones here. MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries been announced with a four-player co-op campaign and mod support. So, yeah, the long-awaited single-player MechWarrior that many people have been waiting for is looking like it's going to be the kind of game that people have actually been wanting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, still no word on when the hell this game is actually coming out, but it's coming. It's progressing. Mm-hmm. It's looking better and better every time they show it. So, yay. Now just release it already, goddammit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And finally, in the this shouldn't surprise anybody category, PUBG for the Xbox One already has cosmetic microtransactions, because of course it does.
Yeah, so
I'll do my best to hide my shock.
Yeah, they got three packs that are going to be going up. One is already up now, ends before the game is out. It's $10. Seems ridiculous to sell
four items. Yeah,
sell DLC before the game is out. That isn't available when it's out. It's like it's a third of the price of the game.
Yeah,
it's like what the $30 isn't enough.
Yeah,
it's like
you
they
buy
should
all
be
four
doing
of those. You're spending another $40.
It's $5 for the other two packs.
Yeah.
$5 each. December 14th through 17th for an accessory pack, and 21st through the 24th for a tracksuit pack. These are all Xbox themed. It's like, why isn't there just a free Microsoft dumb item thing?
Yeah.
Like how Amazon Prime or Twitch Prime had that stuff for the around the launch of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which was all the dumbest looking stuff.
Yeah.
But it was free, and then when it stopped being free and stopped being available completely, it skyrocketed in price on the Steam Marketplace.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which is dumb for the dumbest things.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a block of with the Amazon or a Twitch Prime logo on it.
Why do we want this? I don't know. Yeah, I just don't understand why PlayerUnknown's Battleground is so successful at this point. I just don't know. It seems like the kind of game that's basically a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
It's
it
just
does
such
stream
a good,
well, I'll give it that.
It's a good trick. a style of multiplayer game that's isn't really being done elsewhere, or wasn't being done elsewhere
until Fortnite and
yeah.
Everybody else. Yeah.
But now we're going to see how well it does on a platform where it's not the first game to this.
Mm.
Where everybody's been able to play the like 90% of the same thing for free for the last couple of months.
Mm. It'll probably do pretty well just on its name alone.
The one cool thing is they have a physical edition of the game. It's not on disc, but it's a code. So I'm getting it from Best Buy for 20% off. Because it's a case with a code in it.
Jeez.
Yeah, the Sonic Mania was like that too, by the way.
Yeah. And so it's like, oh, here's a good way to get this on sale for launch.
Cheaper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which which is how I got Minecraft on Xbox 360 at launch for $15 instead of $20. Yeah. So for whatever reason, they had it in the system as $15 for like the first few hours, so people bought codes to get on sale, and it's never been on sale since.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's Best Buy is always good.
Yeah. So that's PUBG, and that's pretty much the end of our.
Yeah. Hey, your game's not done. We're gonna ask you for some money.
Yeah.
For a game that we know is gonna sell well because it's sold really well on Steam, probably the best-selling game on Steam of all time.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. sold like a bazillion copies. So. So let's move on to our discussion topics of the day, and we're going to start with the video game awards that happened Thursday night.
Yes, they did.
Basically went over to E3, pushed it over, and then pissed in its sandbox.
Yeah,
that's one way to put it. We saw a lot of trailers, a lot of premieres. What kind of surprised me about the show itself, though, was the way that they integrated the orchestra music. When like Chris told us about that the other week, I thought it was going to be really stupid, but it actually turned out to be really well done.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I was very pleased about that. And they showed a bunch of games. And, you know, we're not even actually talking about the results themselves because I don't think any of us actually care.
Nope.
So
there's some great things there. They gave the Lifetime Achievement Award to what's her name? Shelley Reed, I think it was.
Yeah.
The woman who created River Raid.
Yeah.
So one of the first female designers in the industry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool, though. Her award speech was. They had that on there.
Yeah.
She kind of rambled on a bit about how good the games look now. She's like, "Oh, this is so detailed. Oh, yeah. We just had pixels and this stuff." It's like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a few. I mean, Breath of the Wild got Game of the Year, which.
Yeah.
It's the politically correct choice.
Yeah. So,
like, if you don't want to piss anyone off, then that's what you go with.
Yeah, well, these awards councils are supposed to pick the best game, not the politically correct one, but okay.
Well, it's also
popular.
Fan-voted as well.
Yeah, a lot of fan votes, so there's that.
I did like that Melina Jurgens won Best Performance
for
Hellblade.
Yeah,
which she's not a voice actress or movie actress.
I'm just Ninja Theory's video editor.
Yeah, she was doing the video editing between takes, basically.
Yeah, meaning if she doesn't have an acting career now, she certainly will in the future.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. At least in all of Ninja Theory's new games.
Yeah. So, yeah, that the Hellblade cleaned up at the awards. I think they took three or four of them.
Three, I think. Yeah. Best performance, best audio design, which we said is the only answer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what was it? Best narrative. That was What Remains of Edith Finch.
Mm-hmm.
Games of Impact.
Yeah, that's another good choice right there.
Yeah.
Cuphead won Best Art Direction, Best Indie Debut.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Best Action was Wolfenstein 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that Best Action Adventure category was just every game there could have been Game of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nobody would have questioned it because it was that, Super Mario Odyssey, Horizon Zero Dawn. I think Nier was in there. Maybe. And it's like, God Persona. Damn, any one of these could have been. Persona was RPG. It was action adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like any one of these could win that award and Game of the Year, and you would not shake your finger at it.
Yeah.
And Nier won best score, so that was a really good choice.
Yeah, I can't say I really disagreed with much of the choices this year.
Injustice getting Fighting Game of the Year was a bit of a stretch.
Well, yeah, a little bit. But, then again, neither of us have played enough of it to really go deep into it. So, There may be a lot there that we don't know about. So. But still, we have played a lot of Tekken 7, and yeah, that's a good game. But yeah. So that was, you know, the results and stuff, because they were good. And then there were a lot of premieres and stuff, like Death Stranding.
Mm-hmm.
An 8-minute, which as they called teaser.
I mean, yeah. Hideo Kojima is the only person in the industry could have an 8-minute video of their game, and it could be only a teaser.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You don't know what the rest of the game is going to be.
Yeah. And after that, you, like, sit there scratching your head wondering, what the fuck did I just watch?
I got to hand it to him, though. Because this is the first time I've looked at Death Stranding, not just as a point of curiosity, you know, what is Hideo Kojima going to do next? And more a point of, this is something I might actually play.
Yeah.
And so that that's what they accomplished, with at least with me, at the Game Awards.
So what people have been sort of saying, and that sort of what they've decoded, I guess you say, is that what it seems like the basic scenario of Death Stranding is that humans are facing some kind of extinction event, possibly by some sort of alien invasion or something, and the character you play has probably, I think, the last living human child that you're trying to get to safety or something like that. And it seems you have like this weird sort of snake-like gadget that helps you detect when these, I guess, invisible alien creatures or whatever seem to be sneaking up on you.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the sort of basic idea here.
Seem kind of like Cthulhu stuff might be in there.
Yeah, there was
that big fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, it was nice to see Hideo Kojima with Norman Reedus on stage as Norman was kissing his ass.
Uh-huh.
Saying, yeah. At least I got some clothes in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was also, should point out, Guillermo del Toro was there too, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
I saw some great headlines about the Death Stranding, stuff where it's like Guillermo del Toro has no idea what's going on in this game. Norman Reedus has no idea what's going on with this game. And it was like, I think when Hideo Kojima told his team his idea for the game, like, they had no idea what, what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Like, well, that seems to come off in the trailers pretty well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently Mark Cerny does know what's going on because he has played enough of it. So
yeah.
So yeah, I'm guessing at this point that the game is actually in a playable state. So.
Yeah. Which and I've been hearing it told that we're probably going to see it either this time next year. Or probably early 2019.
Yeah. Well, the fact that it didn't have to build an engine from scratch is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Guerrilla Games just handed them the Horizon engine.
Yep.
I'm sure that's a huge honor. It's like, oh, you want to make your weird shit with our engine? Fuck yeah.
Yeah, <it's> like, we don't know what the hell you're going to do with it, but okay.
Yeah. Well, apparently Kojima really likes that game, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I just like to see, you know, collaboration between studios is nice, so.
Yeah.
Then what else did we see? Oh, yeah, we saw the announcement trailer for Soul Calibur 6, which nobody expected.
Nope.
It was heavily rumored going into the show, but I was still kind of surprised that it actually happened.
Yeah.
It looks like Harada has handpicked a new producer to be the caretaker of the franchise, which and the first thing that they decided on was that we're just going to forget Soul Calibur 5 even happened.
Yeah,
which is the right decision. So
I'm wondering, is this going to be like a prequel? Because the character models we saw. Oh, so they're rebooting it, basically?
Yeah, it takes place in the first game.
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, the first Soul Calibur, not the first Soul Edge.
Hmm.
Okay.
So, it's going at it from that angle, and They're saying it's going to reveal things about the storyline that were not actually shown in the first time around.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely a Mortal Kombat 9 style reboot.
Hmm. Yeah, which if you're going to do a new Soul Calibur game at this point is really probably the best way to go about it.
Well, Odoshima fucking cornered them so hard that it's not even funny.
Yeah.
So yeah. They had to write their way out of it somehow.
Yeah. Looks good, though.
Yeah, very mm-hmm. interesting system stuff going on with that game between what we saw at the Game Awards and what we saw at PlayStation Experience. Mm. The way clashing works is very different. Mm. Really looking forward to this one. I was really let down by Soul Calibur 5, but...
Well, you weren't the only one, apparently.
Yeah. So.
Well, they just kind of ham-fisted a lot of Street Fighter 4 design philosophy into it, and that's not Soul Calibur. That's not what that series is.
Mm. Yeah. So, we should probably point out this game is going to be coming out for PS4, PS4 Pro, Xbox One, Xbox One X, and PC. So, first time the series is going to the PC.
Yep. Yeah, so this is supposed to take place in the... basically being a redoing of the original Soul Calibur. So, I guess that means that since this is after Soul Edge, that means that Siegfried has the Soul Edge. Yep. So,
yeah, he had it in the trailer.
All right. Hmm.
Yeah, so Siegfried and Sophie Tia. Or she's there, too.
That means Tsurugi.
Of course she is.
Yeah.
And I guess Taki's going to show up there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some stuff
that
need to be there.
However, I didn't see Ivy.
Yeah.
So, 2 out of 10, well, worst game of the year.
I mean, pretty much all we saw was Mitsurugi and Sophie Tia sparring.
Hmm. Yeah.
Oh. There's still a whole lot that needs to be shown of this game. This was essentially a teaser with some system info involved.
Hmm. Yep.
But they're saying 2018, so that's better than I could have hoped for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they're still not going easy on the boobs.
Nope. Still plenty of those.
It's Soul Calibur. You kind of...
It's basically...
You learn to love it.
Yeah, they just merged it with DOA, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after a while, you just don't notice it anymore. It's like, yeah, anyways.
Unless you're playing Ivy where you can't help.
It's like half the character.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. There's a reason she's popular, is all I'm saying.
Well, I always thought it was Taki who was abusing the Blousant.
She was until Ivy came on the scene.
Yeah. Okay, so what else we got here? From Software teased what will probably be Bloodborne 2, maybe?
Or Tenchu. It was basically a sort of a teaser short image, and then they called it Shadows Die Twice. Mm. And that has made people think, is it Bloodborne 2? Because, I mean, the imagery certainly...
Yeah.
Suggest Bloodborne 2, but for some reason a lot of people are actually thinking that this might be a new Tenchu game. Yep. Can anybody explain why exactly? Because I'm not discounting that idea. It's just...
They're just very credible rumors from people who are noted as being in the know. And I guess there maybe have been some key trademark renewals
that
have coincided with this. So I don't know for sure what's going on, but whatever this game is, it's not a slam dunk either way.
All
right. Now, all we can really call it is a new From Software project.
Okay, so who did the original Tenchu?
Oh, shit, I'm
blanking on that, too.
Because the thing is, Tenchu is like one of the OG stealth action games. Like, it actually predates Metal Gear Solid.
Less than a year.
I mean, obviously, the original Metal Gear game.
It was a choir.
Yeah.
Obviously, holy shit, Activision was the publisher?
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. Oh, this is like.
Courted Japanese developers.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was pre.
Call of
Bobby Kotick. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, so actually do you think From Software could do a good Tenchu? I definitely think they could.
Is it bear shit in the woods?
I think they could manage it. For all we know, Shadows Die Twice is actually the title.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's completely possible this is a completely new franchise as well, so.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Right now, I think you could really just safely call it New From Software Project.
Yeah.
You can also call it $60 that will be taken out of your wallet automatically. So,
day one purchase.
Yeah. So there. What else we got? Oh, yeah. Campo Santo unveiled their new game in the Valley of the Gods, set in Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Until 2019, so they're getting out far
ahead ahead of there.
It looks good, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it's going to be another narrative adventure game. But you got a companion with you exploring these ruins.
Mm.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Not much info as of yet, but stay tuned.
Some good hair tech, though.
Yeah, good hair tech. We saw a new shooter from those guys.
The Vanishing of Ethan Carter people, which also worked on Bulletstorm.
Bulletstorm and Painkiller.
Yeah.
It's formerly People Can Fly.
Yeah.
That's them.
Yeah. It's called Witchfire. It is a shooter. It looks good.
Yep. Looks kind of... It's not Painkiller, but it sure as hell looks a lot like it.
Yeah, like spooky shit comes at you and you shoot it. That's Painkiller.
Yep. Mm. No Judas Priest in there, though, unfortunately. So,
not yet. Mm.
Okay, moving on. We got Dreams, which was we saw a lot more of that this year.
Looks like Media Molecule's take on Project Spark.
Yeah,
that seems only that seems fair.
This actually looks, I don't know, good.
Yeah.
Like you can create stuff that's more than just, hey, here's our asset store.
Yeah.
Put it together.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it's going to be pretty interesting to see what people end up doing with this.
Yeah, because they basically talked up this game at the PS4 reveal. Because that was that sort of tool set they were talking about using Move controllers and such to create like actual like 3D models and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what this is turning into. They've got a big campaign that goes with it. Obviously going to show you a lot of the stuff you can do. And it seems like they've showed it off also at PSX. So they did some... Looks like they got a pretty good tool set for people that will be able to see a lot of cool stuff coming out of that when it's out in 2018.
Yeah. Lots of 2018s this year at the Game Awards.
Well, it kind
of
has to be. It's either out now or it's
one
out
month left.
Yep.
Yeah. So, good stuff there. Nintendo showed up. Announced the Bayonetta 1 and 2 for Switch along with Bayonetta 3.
Yep.
So, and that's going to be Switch exclusive, which...
Yep. Really?
Yeah.
Which basically means
that... a Nintendo franchise at this point.
Yeah.
Yep. And it basically means that, at least this one will actually sell.
Yeah. There's enough Switches out there now. Yeah. Which is what the Wii U never had, so...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad I abstained from the Wii U collection. Now I can get it on Switch.
Yeah. Yep. So. And seriously, if you have not played any of the Bayonetta games, you need to go out and play them now.
Yeah. Pretty fun.
Or in a few months when it comes out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Or you can wait in a few months for when the, 3 and the collection come out, because holy crap, these games are just a blast.
Yeah. So.
They really are. And they are exhausting.
Yeah.
Do because there is no such thing as a intermission in any Bayonetta game. It is 100% just chaos.
Yeah, control chaos. A lot of, like, Ezra's Wrath.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. this is just going to be a huge train of craziness. Yeah. Just hop on board.
Yeah.
And we'll take you to places.
Don't try to rationalize it. Don't try to, make it seem, don't try to come up with any kind of explanation. Just go with it.
It's not as crazy as punching a planet in the face, but it's as close as you can get to when you're trying to be a little bit more realistic.
Yeah. So that's Bayonetta 3. Then there was what was probably the moment of the show. When Joseph Ferris was on stage with Jeff Keighley and showed off, eventually showed off a way out.
I'm pretty sure he was
on the map.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, am I alone in thinking he may have been a little toasty?
Oh, he was like flat out drunk.
He was lit up like a rocket.
Yeah. So,
but it worked.
It worked, yes. The game does look really interesting. There was an announcement that he wanted to make that actually he didn't get the chance to, because Jeff shooed him off the stage because he didn't want to lose any more advertisers.
he kept saying, yeah, just give me a second, I got to say something. Then he didn't say the thing he wanted to say. He just
never said the
saying, fuck the Oscars or all this other shit. And it's like, oh, I'm sure the PR person is off stage screaming silently into their mouth.
You could see it in Jeff's face, too. He was like,
just like, oh, God, we got to keep going. Stop telling me. By the end, he's like, oh, I just got – can you give me a second to say one more thing? It's like, no, we're going to the trailer now.
It's like, yeah.
It's on YouTube. Just watch it. It's magical.
It is amazing, and
it's what makes live TV great.
and
he's never going to get a live mic on anything else ever again,
or a publishing deal from EA.
Yeah.
Well, apparently there was some paperwork leaked about they had like a little profile of him that EA has, and like, yeah, he's great. He's real passionate about this stuff. He knows what he's doing. He's a little bit of a wild card at times. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, remember, the dude isn't a game designer by trade. He's a filmmaker.
Yeah.
An indie filmmaker, by the way.
Yeah. Now basically game director.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be good to him.
Yeah. And I just have a message to advertisers who are thinking about advertising on the Game Awards, and you know that Joseph Ferris is going to be up against your ad. Buy that spot. Buy that spot. Pay as much as you can for it, because you will get gold.
All of you alcohol companies, get on board.
Yeah. Smirnoff, we're looking at you.
Just drink. Just make sure it says drink responsibly. This is what could happen to you if you don't.
Oh my god!
Just have Jeff. Just have him up there, Joseph Ferris. He's gone, and then just as he's like in the middle of just I don't know going on against the world banking conspiracy or whatever, just put up a little thing at the bottom. It says Smirnoff. Please drink responsibly.
Yo, fuck the Oscars. Please drink responsibly.
Yeah.
I think we have our show title.
Please. Yeah, we do. I found that particularly funny because Jeff Keighley does want to make the Game Awards to be like the equivalent of the Oscars for the game industry. So, yeah. It
went a long way toward doing that.
Yeah, it did. And of course, outbursts. Completely uncontrolled outbursts happen at the Oscars as well, so hey.
Yeah.
What else? I do recommend looking this up on YouTube. It was amazing. And then what else we got? A Vacation Simulator.
Yeah, so there was some good VR stuff announced. The sequel to Job Simulators called Vacation Simulator. Because after all, when you're done,
you're going to get it.
When you're done with the job, you go on vacation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's going to be pretty good. It's coming to everything, and it's out next year.
Yeah.
So that's probably the best-selling of the VR games, I think, So yeah, it's definitely something they wanted to make something new with.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And we also saw Accounting for Accounting Plus.
Yeah, so that's also another VR thing. Came out on PC a while back. And if you're into Rick and Morty, this is very much that in VR and mixed with Inception a bit. So it's a big comedy adventure thing where you are in an office and you put on this VR headset. You go into a forest and then this guy pops out of a tree and is like, "Fuck you!" And just starts yelling at you. And then some stuff happens. You end up putting another VR headset on. Just keep going deeper into these crazier comedy segments as people that talk exactly like Rick or Morty does, where they're just rambling on as well as cursing at you all the time. It's some really funny segments. And Accounting Plus is the VR version that has some new stuff in it. And it's out on, I think, the 19th.
Yeah.
Like, it's on sale for the pre-order for
about 10 bucks. One of the few 2017 games there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other one was the Breath of the Wild Champions Ballad DLC, which is available now. And, yep. It's hard.
Yeah.
Yes. But you do get a nice reward at the end of it.
Yeah. So, yeah, worth playing.
You also get a bike.
Yeah.
So if you need
a motorcycle,
another weird way to get around, you can just sit there and just ride a bike and then probably run out of gas.
Yeah, considering I'm pretty sure the internal combustion engine hasn't been invented at Hyrule yet, so...
Yeah. No, but they got magic.
Yeah.
So. Well, that does explain everything, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's the Game Awards in a nutshell. It was a good show. Definitely worth watching.
Best one yet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. By far.
Yeah. I like how they handled sponsorships. It was, you know, done normally instead of, like, having the chic Hydrobot Razor, like, walking around the stage for no apparent reason.
That's great stuff as well. That's like Joseph Ferris level of craziness.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a... very uncomfortable suit to be in, by the way. So I'll just point that out. So, a guy who had to do that for the entirety of the show, yeah, hats off to you. Because that helmet is uncomfortable. And then we ended up Friday night with PlayStation Experience opening festivities, as they say. A very different kind of show.
Yep.
Yeah, basically a panel. Just like all the rest of the panels.
It's a really long panel.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Sid Schumann and Sean Layden were basically hosting it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically just interviewing developers, having them come out with their game. Talked about a number of announcements, as well as had a big, nice play session of Detroit Become Human, which had the crowd come in. They were freaking out about the fish. You gotta save the fish.
Gotta save the fish, yeah.
Which is nice, which would have been nice if they had like a phone app, like their PlayStation app that they use for these sorts of events to sort of RSVP for stuff. If you could actually like queue in your decisions, like, hey, you should do this. That would have been pretty cool, like the way that Telltale has it, or they do their own play sessions at Comic-Cons and such.
Yeah, that might have been too much in the situation, considering how fast you have to make those decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of those looked like they were time-limited.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Detroit actually looks a lot better than I was giving it credit for.
Yeah.
Looks like something I probably will actually want to play. So, which is weird for a Quantic Dream game.
Yeah.
I usually don't like those. So, another cool thing about PS Experience this year was a lot of VR.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Apparently, Sony really is going all in with the VR stuff.
It's they announced their sales numbers. $70 million for PS4, which is crazy. Xbox One might not be at 40 yet.
Yeah.
But... they also announced 2 million sales for PlayStation VR. which is huge. It's just over a year. 2 million is pretty big.
And they're getting the prices down as fast as they possibly can, and that's helping a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody is trying to get their prices down, except for Valve. They're not really lowering their prices very much.
Yeah, it's nice because they've basically announced the big flag of, hey, if you've got a VR game on PC and you're not doing as well as you like, hey, bring it over here. Yeah. We got tons of people over here.
Yeah. So among those games, we saw Jupiter and Mars.
Yeah, which is, if you didn't know, is the from the new studio that James Milkey and Sam Kennedy started.
Yeah.
So that is their new game. It looks like Techno Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah.
Yeah, this to me was the highlight of the show. This is something that I'm getting day one. It's right up my alley.
Yeah, it's not VR exclusive, so you can play it with a regular PS4. But I assume it's going to be pretty cool in VR.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then we had Wipeout VR is going to be an update for the Omega Collection.
Yeah, that's free updates, all the content, so it's not like GT Sports VR mode.
Yeah, it's the whole thing. It's just...
Yeah, which should be pretty cool, though. I have no chances of hoping it's going to work well for me. Because Drive Club does not do well for me, and this is going to be faster.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Especially, I think this will be one of those games that will probably require a PS4 Pro to avoid puking.
Yeah.
So
maybe.
Yeah. So there's that. There was a 4v4 team-based shooter called Firewall Zero Hour that actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, I was watching the panel earlier, and they were talking about how their inspiration is the original Rainbow Six.
Hmm.
So they're definitely going old school. And this is from Adam Warth's studio. So that's what he is working on right now.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, after their first game shirked PSVR as a thing, now they're making an exclusive PSVR game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, it's actually selling. Okay.
Yeah,
because
they're like, oh, we don't have the resources to do that. It's like, oh, it could help your game sell more.
Mm.
Instead of people being like, oh, yeah, it's the VR game. It's like, nope, not on your platform. Oh, well, I'll pass on that.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty good. It's not really my thing, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Then there's Last Guardian VR, which is a standalone experience that's going to be coming out.
It's on Tuesday.
This week? Yeah, Tuesday.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tuesday. It's going to be free, and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's just like another one of like the free experiences sort of thing. Just get to hang out with Trico and that. Just say, hey, some more stuff coming out of that game.
Yeah.
To remind people, hey, you should go play that game if you haven't played it yet. Because it's a game that came out, they put out essentially two of these games in consecutive years.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like 20 minutes long, something like that, which is pretty good.
A little bite-sized, you know, taste of The Last Guardian. So, and probably also proof of concept to see if that type of game could work in virtual reality. So.
Yeah, it's a really great art style, and that's a great fit for this sort of experience, so that should be really cool.
Yeah, whenever they release something like this, it's for a reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got to use those assets.
Yeah.
Because that took 10 years to make those assets.
Might as well get the most out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
We had one that just made me go, what the actual fuck? Donut County.
That looks really cool.
How is Keita Takahashi not involved in this game?
Because he's got his own game that he doesn't know what it's about yet. That's so what he's been saying on Twitter. So Donut County is kind of like Katamari, except you're playing a hole. And you move it around to get stuff to fall into it. It grows bigger, and you can get more stuff to fall into it.
Oh, fuck, I'm in.
Totally in.
Who knew a game about a hole in the ground was going to be so interesting?
Mm.
And the trailer is pretty good because there are two raccoons that are playing the game on a TV, and they end up with a good bit of an up dog bit. And the other guy goes, "What's up, dog?" And then just keeps repeating it. He's like, because he's still confused. Like, "What's up, dog?"
Yeah.
It's a silly bit.
Yeah, it looks fun. It's one of those kind of surprises of the show because I didn't see this one coming.
It kind of reminded me, if you remember that Goose stealth game that was announced a little while ago, it kind of reminded me of that kind of art style.
Yeah.
Like, here's something that's nice and simple and silly.
Mm-hmm.
And we need more of those games.
Yep.
Mm.
Cool stuff. Also, we got a look at Concrete Genie, the new game from the folks that did Entwined.
Yeah.
Yep.
It actually looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more in depth on the creative stuff than you might have thought. Because you can actually just set up all that design stuff and essentially paint it on the walls by hand, like really nicely. It's not like just stamps of stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of like actually drawing like the trunk of the tree and the limbs and the leaves and the water and creating the ground and all that stuff.
Mm.
It'll be cool to see like what all people make out of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to... It's going to be fun to see how that one works because it's supposed to be a third-person action-adventure game. So with that painting type elements into it. So
it's
fun.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, check that one out. Then Sean Layden's t-shirt announced Medieval.
Yeah. This came out of freaking nowhere.
I'm happy to see it, though.
Yeah, okay, I say it came out of nowhere. We heard some talk that they were bringing this franchise back a couple years ago. But Medieval was one of those sort of mid-tier PlayStation games that came out in the 90s.
It was very much a European thing.
Yeah,
and it was a cult classic, and it sold okay, but it kind of sank under the radar for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember playing the PS1 version when it was like a free PS Plus game. I was like, yeah, this is kind of neat. I don't care for the controls, but this seems like a perfect way of bringing it back and modernizing certain aspects of it.
Yeah, they'd have to go all Crash Collection on this one.
Mm-hmm. Now, was this one of the Verandas rumors?
I don't think so.
But
I could be wrong. Still. It's happening. Sometime next year, 2018. So cool stuff there. There was a lot of stuff also that was, you know, repeats from the Game Awards that happened the night before, so won't really
talk
much about that.
And the Soul Calibur 6 stuff that was shown was new though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you got a trailer at the Game Awards, and you got more gameplay at PSX. So,
that
was pretty cool. We also saw Patapon 2 again.
Yeah, that got surprise announced for PS4, which is pretty cool. As we saw the first game, as well as Locoroco, those are some games that really fit well on the PS4.
Mm.
Just having those sort of stylized graphics works really well. So I see that they're doing well enough they're making the next games.
Yep.
Locoroco 2 just came out yesterday, so that's another great game to get. I'm curious to see if they continue that, because there's like a weird Halloween follow-up they did to that standalone thing that could be cool if it comes out as well. Patapon 3 obviously also would be cool to see come out as well.
So there's that, and finally there was Papers, Please for the Vita, which
it's out on Tuesday, and big surprise that it's actually coming out.
Yeah, it's about damn time.
Yeah, if there's one thing you can count on at PlayStation Experience, is the Vita is still relevant.
Yep.
And here's a game about doing paperwork.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Granted, a very engaging game about doing paperwork.
Yeah. Doing paperwork in like East Berlin in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, goes down all around you.
Or something like that. I've always interpreted as it being like Albania or something.
Yeah.
Like it's between
the border between Albania and Yugoslavia.
It's like you're on one of the countries surrounding Germany as their all this shit is going down with the Cold War and
people. Yeah, basically, it's just pick some random Eastern European style in this hellhole.
Yeah, that's which they call Arstotzka.
Yeah.
All glory to Arstotzka.
Yeah.
And it's a great game for people that like bureaucracy. Because you get presented with lots of moral and ethical quandaries. And you can just be like, yeah. Nope, you fucked up your paperwork. Get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're going to die. It's you fucked up your paperwork. You're supposed to get this stamp. You didn't get the stamp. You're wrong. Get out of here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Also, you're on a timetable. There's that, too.
Yeah, there's some great bits in there. There's a guy that – an old guy who just keeps bringing you absurdly fake passports.
Yeah.
It's really funny. There's some not-so-funny stuff. Like there's a guy who says his wife is coming right behind him, mm-hmm. and they're trying to flee to get to your country, and then mm-hmm. the wife has messed up paperwork. It's like, oh, do you let her in to stay alive, or are you going to reject her like you should?
Yes, because if you do let her in, you end up getting a citation, which cuts into your wages, which means that your children may not go with eating or food that week.
Yeah, all the while, as you're doing all this stuff, you're trying to complete as much as you can because it feeds into your wages, which gets divvied up into food, heat, rent, all that stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
So sometimes it's like, well, we didn't make enough. Timmy, you're going hungry today. You can decide who goes without food, that sort of stuff as well.
So it's
a game for great people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you could get that on the PC. It's great.
Now you can take it with you and be a horrible person on the bus.
You can be depressed while you're on your commute. So
that's what the holidays are about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do we have about final thoughts about PSX this year?
It's pretty good.
Around the horn.
Yeah, it was all right.
Anyone? No?
I'll say there were some really cool panels with Uncharted, the 10th anniversary one, where they had most of the big name actors, voice actors on there. Hmm. Obviously, Nolan, Emily, and what's his name? The guy that voices Sully. Richard McGonagall. On there, as well as Troy Baker, Chloe Frazier, Claudia Black. Yeah, a bunch of the others, and it was really fun to have all of them together, being able to say kind of goodbye to the series, at least as far as their characters are concerned, because it's pretty much going to be wrapping up, though at the same time also kind of brought the emotions of, like, I need another one of these. I don't want to say goodbye to these people.
Mm.
It was really nice, as well as they had the Last of Us 2, Part 2 panel that Hannah Hart hosted, and got to see some of the people behind some of the new characters from that recent trailer, which was really nice, as well as it opened up really nicely with Ashley singing the song from the first trailer while Troy Baker was playing the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually in a band, so he knows how to do that stuff.
Yeah,
and that was a really nice way to open that up, as well as talking about they have a co-writer who worked on what's the HBO show with the androids?
Westworld.
Yes, she was one of the writers on there, so she's co-writer with Neil Druckmann.
Mm.
And she talked about how she learned about fail states. But how much she loved the first game, now gets to be one of the assholes that has to make these decisions on where they're writing these characters, doing all this terrible stuff to people.
Yeah.
Which was nice, as well as showing off some of the new people, as well as having Troy and Ashley there doing their thing, which is great to have those casts, as well as Hannah Hart just kept asking questions, spoilery questions of, like, things that Neil was never going to answer.
Yeah.
So she's like, just stop asking those questions because they're not going to answer you. But they basically revealed that we're going to get first gameplay on that at E3.
Yeah.
So that'd be nice. Yeah, just some really cool events there. That's what you like about this sort of thing.
Yeah. And also, according to Sean Layden, we'll probably get the ability to change our PSN names by the end of 2018. So, yeah, Greg Miller just flat out asked him that.
Yeah.
And he dodged, kind of. So, but yeah, other than that, the format was kind of interesting. I liked it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, E3 is fine for its the way it is, you know, you do the whole press conference thing, but I think for PSX, you want to do something a little bit more different and have something like this, which is a little bit more intimate, get to, you know, see the personality of the devs and see how that all goes, you know.
You had people sticking around after their segment, which I thought was cool. Yeah. Getting their takes on other projects.
It was nice seeing Herman Hulst sticking around when Corey Barlog came on.
And ripping him mercilessly.
Yeah, he's like, oh, here's the guy that shipped this game. Here's the guy that has shipped this game. He's like, oh, good luck, Corey.
Yeah.
And he just reclines on the seat and he's like, okay.
So, yeah, good show. So, we'll see another one next year. Probably we'll... will probably be worth going to that one again.
Yep.
So. Yeah, because it looks like they're going to have another stacked year for Sony, so that's going to be unfortunate for our wallets.
Yeah. And my wallet already hates me, so...
Yeah.
Anyway. So we'll get into our picks of the week then before we wrap up the show. I'll start us off with I Am 8-Bit's limited edition Skyrim vinyl soundtrack. $40, 2 LP vinyl set in forest green. This isn't a complete soundtrack, but it's kind of like a greatest hits, basically, of all the best music in Skyrim. There is a complete box set that you can get at the Bethesda store if you really want that one. That one's $80. I think this one here from I Am 8-Bit is probably the way to go, so... that's my pick. Lots of an outdated way of listening to really great video game music. So there. Pat?
Mine's probably going to be kind of obvious for this week. Pretty much by the time you're getting this podcast, the Capcom Cup will be back for its final day for 2017. And with it, we'll be bringing another round of news. So... check out Top 8, check out whatever they happen to want to talk about for Season 3 for Street Fighter V. Maybe have some Marvel news in there, and who knows what else. So definitely tune in on that. I've got the link to the Capcom channel in the show notes. Should be a good night.
Yeah, and we'll report back next week. So
yes.
Yeah.
All right.
How about you, Brandon?
All right, so remember a while back we were talking about Lost Soul Aside? It was a one-man project by a guy in South Korea who had seen a trailer for Final Fantasy 15, and he was like, "Hey, I want to make a game that looks like that." So he started making one.
And then Sony said, "Here's money."
Yeah, well, it was available in a playable form at PSX this year. And to celebrate that, there's actually a gameplay demo that you can watch on Game Informer. And it's coming out next year. So it's basically, you know, imagine something like Devil May Cry with a Final Fantasy type aesthetics. And damn if it doesn't look good.
Yeah. It's
This is a project that's just really easy to cheer for.
Oh yeah. And it's looking, and now that he's got like more original assets in there now, it looks even better.
Yeah.
This is what independent game design should be like.
Yeah.
Game development. The success stories, someone who doesn't really think they have a shot at it, getting a break and making the most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
yeah. And check that out, and I also encourage you know buy it when it comes out next year because I'm expecting this game to be good. But it, you know, just it, on principle, we need to support more independent visionary developers like this.
Yeah. Yes, totally agree. Chris?
Yeah, so we talked a lot about PlayStation VR, how many new games were announced and all that. And they're all putting all the bundles on sale at probably most of the retailers from today until the 24th. It's a good time to get them because they're $100 off, so you get that Skyrim VR bundle for $349, which includes the new headsets and all that with the camera, the two moves, and Skyrim, as well as the new the VR demo disc. Mm-hmm. They also got, if you don't want the moves for whatever reason, even though it's... I would recommend it for most of the games because you're not going to play Super Hot VR without moves. So
nope.
Might as well make sure you can play all the games. But PlayStation VR's Doom VR Far bundle is in there for $300. Includes everything but the moves, and it includes Doom VFR instead of Skyrim. But that's also pretty good if you already have the moves and Skyrim as well. So, yeah, there's some good opportunities to get these, get into the ecosystem now.
Yeah,
and get ready for the onslaught of cool stuff that's coming out next year.
Yeah, I heard Doom VFR was actually really good. So
yeah,
yeah,
seems pretty cool from what I've seen. I don't have it yet because I'm out of money.
So am I. Yeah. So yeah, Teresa, you haven't been on since we started doing these picks of the week. So yeah, I kind of foisted this on you. I'm not sure if you have one.
That's okay. I actually do have something that is on my radar for people who are needing a budget buy Switch game. Probably more for the younger crowd, but I thought it was pretty fun. I played it on the Wii U. Lego City Undercover is on sale at Toys R Us for $20 for the Switch. Yep. And some people are saying that they're finding it in the clearance area at their local Walmart. So $20 for a Switch game, that's a nice stocking stuffer.
Yeah.
That's not a bad
Lego City, for those who haven't played it, it's basically GTA, but child-friendly, and it's all Lego. So
that's exactly what I came away with it as, which is nice. Pretty fun game.
So I think with that, we'll end the program. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite RSS reader. You can also check us out at smashpad.com and facebook.com/smashpadsocial. So until next week, I'm Filippo Gianolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Teresa Sammons.
Bye.